Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game, and the Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. The Predators can't lose. They simply refuse to lose. When I had just kind of accepted it at the end of the second period, when the Predators were down 3 goals going into the third against the Vegas Golden Knights, I thought it's okay. You know, the streak was fun while it lasted. I thought they were going to lose. I accepted it. But not this Nashville Predators team. They absolutely refuse to go down in regulation. Joining us now is Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, 18 game point streak, 16-0-2 in their last 18 games since
Amazing stuff.
U2 Gate, since 9-2 loss against Dallas. What do you make of what this Predators team is doing right now and what they showed us on Tuesday night with that comeback?
I mean, like, I got fooled like everybody else. I was like, okay, there were a lot of good games that night. I think there were 14 games that night. So I changed the channel. I was like, oh, this is over. I can go watch something else. And the next thing I knew, I looked up and they were going to overtime. I was like, wow. So what I think what it teaches you is, no matter what the score is, don't change a channel. And
Hey,
that's what I learned the
tale as
other
old as
day.
time.
Someone's coming for me here. Well, I'm walking the street. Look, I think this. I mean, I've said this in a couple places. I'm sure on this show too. It's all tied into that game you mentioned, the 92 game. The whole YouTube thing. Their season could have gone completely sideways at that point. They had every excuse to fall apart. There were no expectations on this team. You know, you could say there were holes, and they pulled it together. And I think the group deserves a lot of credit. A lot of credit. Now, it's impossible to keep this going. And at some point in time, the bubble's going to burst a bit, but they deserve a ton of credit for how they've played and how they've responded in the aftermath of that 9-2 loss.
I'm with you 100%. Looking at this streak so far, Predators have beaten Vegas. The Predators have beaten Florida in their arena, beaten Winnipeg. They've beaten Colorado. They've beaten cup contenders. Are the Predators themselves a cup contender?
Well, I think now you have to say yes. Now, I have to say this too, Carolyn. Like, the Western Conference playoffs, that first round is going to be murder. It really is. It's going to be really, really hard. Like, there are going to be teams who could win the Stanley Cup who are going to go out in that first round. It's not just necessarily the possibility of Nashville. You look at those matchups, and you're going to see teams out in round one, and you're going to see matchups in round one, and you're going to see this should not be happening in the first round of the playoffs. So, I think the Predators have sent us a message that they are to be respected. It's just that, like, that Western playoffs is going to be a crapshoot. I think the other thing, Carolyn, that changes in the playoffs is, I was actually talking about this with someone today at the Toronto Washington skate, is, you know, this is not to diminish what Nashville's done because it's incredible, but now you get a lot of different opponents at different times. The playoffs are, it's one team, 7 games, and you game plan for that one opponent. And I'm really curious, like, Josi, he's almost unstoppable. And while you were suntanning last week, we were talking about how he should be in the Hart Trophy conversation. But it's going to be interesting to see in a playoff series, what are these teams going to do with him? How are they going to defend him? Because you know that when they sit in that meeting, say, okay, we've got Nashville for the next 2 weeks, priority number one is going to be, what can we do to make life difficult on Roman Josi? And obviously, that's going to have a huge effect on your chances.
Elliot, actually, 1 week ago today, I was floating in the middle of the Pacific Ocean with a drink in my hand. I looked at my watch and I said, oh, I would be talking to Elliot right now. And it'll be safe.
There's no way that happens.
This Thursday is much better. This Thursday is much better than what I was doing last Thursday.
I know.
She's telling the story, Elliot.
You just told two lies in one sentence.
Oh, man. We're talking with Elliot Friedman, 32 Thought podcast, talking about the Nashville Predators and their hot streak that they're on. We can no longer call it a hot streak. It's just they're a good team at this of the season. Now, you talked about some things in regards to Roman Josi. You know, once you get into playoffs and teams, you're playing one specific team a seven-game series, and they need to hone in on how to stop him every game. But don't you think, Elliot, that this roster period, this team has gotten so much better that if you do find a way to stop a Roman Josi, that they have other guys on this roster that can beat you as well?
I do think that, Darren. I do believe that this is a team this year that has learned a lot about itself. And a lot of players have really grown. But I do think it's going to be harder. Like, that's the thing. Like, Derek, it just becomes harder. In these meetings now, they say, what's the one or two things we really have to do? And number one and number two, probably for the Predators, is going to be him. And, where can we put him in positions where he's not comfortable? Can we rough him up a little bit? Can we throw him off his game? And, I'll say this. I think he's an incredibly competitive guy. As you guys know, he's really friendly. He's very approachable. But that doesn't mean he isn't competitive as hell. And he won't do what he can to fight through that. But, that's still going to be the way it's going to be. They're going to say, we're going to try to find ways to slow him down, wrap him up, take him off his game, and we'll see who on Nashville is going to be that guy who can make up for it. You have a great team, not just great players, you have a great team. Look, Forsberg's having a magnificent year. But what they're going to say is, if we can stop Josi at the other end of the ice or slow him down a bit, will that help us with Forsberg and others at the other end? So that's what you're going to have to battle through.
Now, we've had callers call in and talk about, them wanting the Predators to lose a game or two before the playoffs start, because there is sort of this, we're waiting for the shoe to drop. It can't be this good. Where in actuality, I look at it from this standpoint, I think they've shown you, look at the Red Wings game, look at the win. And Willie even brought up, last hour in the Winnipeg game, have a funky bounce off the glass. It goes in where UC is trying to, locate the puck, but it goes, hit the glass, make a weird bounce and goes in. They fought to come back to take that game into overtime. And then you look at the Red.
And they fight to.
Then look at the game. They had to come back 3-0. They were down three goals against the Vegas Knights. They to come back to that game. So I think, at least from my standpoint, we've seen the Nashville Predators in, situations where they had to dig down deep to either take a game into overtime or win a game. So I think we've seen that. Is that how you see it as well?
I do. I mean, look, and sooner or later, you guys are going to lose a game. It's just going to happen. I actually think, Derek, going into the playoffs, I think one of the biggest things that, you guys are going to have to ask is, do you want to rest anybody? You guys have tough travel. Like, that's one of the things about the Predators, especially depending on where you finish. Like, if you, like none of those are, I guess Dallas would not be too bad a flight, but, Denver's a bit of a hike and Winnipeg's a bit of a hike. And if you end up going into the Pacific Division, that's really long travel. So I think, to me, the biggest question is going to be, Trotz, Brunette, what do they talk about in terms of, do we want to rest up guys? And I think the travel for some teams is a lot harder than others. I think potentially it could be that way for you guys. So, if you get Dallas, you're not that worried about it. But some of those other situations you might be. So that's what I'm curious about is, even if there's a streak, I mean, if it's going for two more weeks, like, that's unbelievable. But even if it's going for two more weeks and you get to the end, you just say, we got to give some guys a night off before it really starts up.
Now, is there a team you can compare this Predator team to in recent years that there was not much fanfare about them at the beginning of the season, or, you know, them making it to the playoffs, or let alone a Stanley Cup? And then all of a sudden, by the middle of the season or the end of the season, this team is a legitimate, you know, noisemaker if or when they get in the playoffs. Has it been another team like that in recent years that you can compare the Nashville Predators to?
Well, the team that's coming up a lot is one you know pretty well, and that's the St. Louis Blues. Mm-hmm. And there is a similarity in the sense that in 2019, the Blues were basically written off in January. I think they were in last place in early January. And at the trade deadline that year, Doug Armstrong, who's the GM of the Blues, he sent out like a pretty – like nobody will show it to me, but I know it's existed out there. Like, he basically sent out a Christmas sale note to all the GMs saying, like, sale on my players. And then they pulled it together. He made a coaching change. They pulled it together, and they won the Stanley Cup. And, you know, Ryan O'Reilly was the Conn Smythe winner on that team. He was the number one center, and he won the Conn Smythe trophy. And there is a comparison to be made, too, between – although – Saros had more of a resume than Jordan Binnington did at the time. Like, he's still, Saros is the kind of goalie that he can get you hot and win for you. So, like, actually, it's funny. I was talking about this last week, Eric. I believe in the salary cap era, which now goes back 20 years, I think more eight seeds, the last seed to make the playoffs, have won the Stanley Cup than President's Trophy winners, and that goes to the team with the most points in the regular season. So, like, it's not unheard of, and St. Louis with Ryan O'Reilly would be the one that you would think of.
And we've had a lot of, Elliot Friedman is with us, we've had a lot of texters and callers compare this team potentially to the St. Louis team. I always try to caution that, because I do think that 2019 season was more the exception and not the rule. But hey, the way that this team is playing, I'm not counting anything out as a possibility. But looking at
the people ride the wave. Like that's the way I think. Like the one of the things, Carolyn, is that we don't, like in sports, we worry so much about things that might happen or don't happen. And when you're on a wave like this, like this is once in maybe franchise history. So ride the wave while you can. Like, I would just say to the fans, enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. And we are trying to at least enjoy this wholeheartedly, because I think the only word that I could use to describe this Predators team and what they're doing right now is just special. It's special what they're doing.
Yeah.
So looking at the most likely opponents in the playoffs, it's going to be Dallas, Winnipeg, or Colorado. Really, you know, even if the Predators leap Winnipeg for that third spot in the West, it's still going to be Colorado or Dallas. And it really is here kind of pick your poison. Like, all of these team are cup contenders. But if you had to rank those three teams as who you'd like to most see in the playoffs versus least see in the playoffs, how would you rank those teams if you're the Predators? Truly pick your poison.
Well, yeah, you know, this is the one that gets me all over the internet. I think you'd probably take Winnipeg if you – if you had to pick one of them. You're right, it's pick your poison. It's hemlock or lethal injector. But you probably have to take Winnipeg, although there you're getting the best goalie, right? Like, that's a series where you can get goalie, because he's the best goalie of the three teams, Hellebuck. And so, but I mean, you probably look at it, you'd probably say, okay, them, and then, I mean, I don't know, Dallas or Colorado. I mean, Dallas to me is the deepest team in the league, and Colorado's got incredible elite talent. You know, I'll say this, like, I would love to see, like, remember the last time you guys made the playoffs, you got wiped out against Colorado because Saros got hurt, right? So I'm sure on some level the Predators would love to say, okay, like we'd like a chance with our number one guy there.
100%. And we've also discussed, it was something that you touched on, is the length of travel. As you have to go to Colorado four times or travel, you know, to Winnipeg four times. Like that's, that's a lot. That's hard. That is a lot of travel. Yes. But of course, it's also something that the other team has to do too. But still, I look at the trip to Dallas. Our producer, Nick Frazier, did some wonderful number crunching. If you go back and forth to Dallas, it's what, 2,000 something miles. You go back and forth to Colorado as many times as you would need to in a 7-game series. It's like close to 5,000 miles. So it's a significant difference. Do we talk too much about travel when it comes to the Stanley Cup playoffs?
No, I don't think you do. Like I know particularly in the West, it can be a factor. Like one thing they've done in the final, and I haven't checked the schedule yet, but I remember recently in the final, every travel day was 2 days off. And I know some people thought that was too long, but I thought it gave the best chance for the best hockey. I don't think you can overestimate. I mean, look, these guys travel well. They're not like us schmoes in regular airports. They have beautiful planes. They have great food on the planes. Like, you know, players joke that, you know, the NHL stands for Never Hungry League because of all the great food that's available. You know, in Canada, if they play Winnipeg, they've got to go through customs, but they go through in a special terminal. It's much easier. But it is a factor. Like, you know, it reminds me a bit of Nashville. In 2011, Vancouver lost the Stanley Cup final in 7 games to Boston. And, you know, like there's lots of reasons you lose. And when you get that close, the margin of difference is razor thin. But one of the things that they talked about is that they remember they played Nashville in the second round that year and they won it in 6 games. They really thought that last trip to Nashville for Game 6 took a lot out of them. And it wasn't the reason they lost. But I remember some guy said to me, you know, you really wish you would take care of your business in 5 games because you think about that one extra trip from Vancouver to Nashville. Yeah. It's something.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a gauntlet. It's going to be difficult and it's going to be exhausting either way. But if I can cut corners or take whatever inches I can. A
couple of thousand miles.
Yeah, just a couple thousand miles here and there. I'm going to take it. Absolutely. Elliot, last one for you. You buying stock in this Predators team?
Oh, yeah. First of all, I always root for trips to Nashville. You know, like I remember 25 years ago, we were all making fun of it. And 25 years later, we're like, thank God this is here. What a great town and what a great place to visit. And not only for Broadway, but like I've learned also, too, like if you're an outdoorsy person, there's a lot there to really like. So I'm always buying my ticket to Nashville. And I really do believe this, like, the Western Conference playoffs this year are going to be murder, and in a lot of these series are going to be toss-ups. Like, you can tell me that Nashville would go out in the first round. You would tell me Nashville would go to the Western Conference final, and I'd say both things are possible. That's how tough that and how much of a toss-up those playoffs are going to be.
Anything can happen in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Mm-hmm. Anything sure can happen. Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast in Sportsnet. Elliot, I know Willie was upset to have to miss you. He's out at morning skate in Arizona, but we'll catch up next week.
Yeah, you know, you guys are all liars. Like, you're talking about, like, you're in the ocean and you miss me, and Willie's in the sunshine of Arizona. And you
Willie's at morning skate in Arizona.
Yeah, whatever.
So I don't know if it's,
Derek,
if it's as...
Derek, I know you're the only truth teller, Derek. I know.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Elliot, appreciate you as always. We'll catch
all right,
up
guys.
Week.
Have a great weekend, okay?
Yep,
appreciate
you too.
It. Uh-huh. You too. All right, we'll recap what Elliot Friedman had to say there and react to what Elliot had to say. But, Divas, it's time to have yet another discussion that we've had several times before, because today brings up this same conversation every single year, and I have a feeling we need to set it straight We'll do that coming up next. We'll also get into your phones as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Boom. The sun came out today. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Missouri with the pregame at 5:45 and first pitch at 6 p.m. Vanderbilt baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. Speaking of Vanderbilt baseball, it is also Major League Baseball opening day. D. Mays, what is your excitement level for Major League Baseball opening day?
You asking the wrong person. I grew up with, having the Tigers in my backyard, not necessarily literally in my backyard, but obviously the stadium is maybe 15 minutes from where my neighborhood was, 15, 20 minutes. And I never really got excited about opening day. Now, my dad loved baseball, watched baseball every single day it came on once he got off work. But I wasn't that type of person.
Yeah.
I take it as it come, if we had a, which I know is another separate, separate conversation. Maybe if we had a team in town, I would feel a little bit different about opening day. But I get excited about, opening day for football and basketball, and so a certain extent hockey because we got a team here. But as far as baseball, I'm not too excited. I mean, listen, it's another sport, which is great. But they have too many games for me to be getting excited about the first game. Didn't they already have the first game already in another country?
Spring training, and then there's the game in Mexico.
Exactly. Had the game in Mexico, so technically that was the first game. All right? Now they have this one that they want to label the first game. Well, you're confusing me because you already started the season, okay? You're confusing me on this one.
D-Mays, the opening day police.
Yeah, I know a lot of people out there love diehard. I mean, Willie's a diehard player. I mean, a fan. He was once a player. You love baseball because, hell, the St. Louis is a good team, and they won championship. But I don't get too excited about baseball. I love it that it's another sport on now. Mm-hmm. Again, they have too many damn games for me to be getting excited.
I get it. But I'm glad that you brought up, if we had a team here, because it's opening day and it feels like every single year we have this conversation on opening day. And it feels like we revisit this topic all the time. And we have to revisit it again today because I saw one of the headlines in the Tennessee Ledger today. Mm-hmm. Says Nashville is getting Major League Baseball in big, bold font. Underneath it in small, thin italics, it says, it seems to just be a matter of when and where and who's going to own and pay for it. Really? We're getting a team. We just don't know when it's going to be. We don't know where it's going to be. And we don't know who is going to pay for it. But it's going to happen. And that's my question is, how's it going to happen if there's nobody that's there to pay for it? And this article references, the poll that we went over. I think this was maybe this time last year. It was a poll with Major League Baseball players of potential expansion because Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball commissioner, has talked about how he wants to expand MLB from 30 to 32 teams. Great. They polled Major League Baseball players where preferred cities. I think Salt Lake was in the mix. I think Charlotte was in the mix. Nashville was in the mix as well. And Nashville was the overwhelming favorite for Major League Baseball players to expand to MLB. Also referenced baseball writer Buster Olney. It says, quote, based on conversations with high-ranking executives within the sport, it seems close that Nashville will win one of the next expansion teams. When the owners actually form a committee to study the possible growth from 30 to 32 teams, they'll talk about how the Music City is already a major league city with the NFL's Titans and the NHL's Predators and tremendous population growth in a part of the country that is wild about sports. And look, I get it. I understand why everybody wants to be here in Nashville. It's growing like crazy. There's corporations that move their headquarters to Nashville. That it's a proven sports nut city. People love sports in this town. I get why they want to be here. It's a great city. But there's also a few more important details into that as well. Mm-hmm. Who's going to pay for it? The stadium is going to be what? $2 billion, is that fair to say? An expansion fee is what? About $2 billion, if not more? Mm-hmm. Who's got that kind of money?
Well, they need to find those people because I'm going to tell you one taxpayer that ain't paying for it, me. I ain't paying for a damn baseball stadium. So, you know.
And I don't think you're alone in that. And you are a sports fan.
Exactly. And I love sports, but I'm not paying for it. I'm not. Listen, you've already gotten, you know, the city to help, you know, some of, you know, with the whole, you know, thing you're doing off the Cumberland with the stadium, the Titan Stadium and everything else. You know, you're going to double back and then ask your residents to then help pay for $1 billion, $2 billion stadium. Give me a break. I don't think anybody wants to pay this as much as they love baseball here. They figure, listen, we have, cause a lot of people have moved in from other places. So they have allegiance to other teams, especially if you've moved here from Georgia or moved here, you know, from Missouri, somewhere like that, where you already have your, or Michigan, where you already have your team set. And if you want to see your team, you can travel up the street to go see them. But you don't want to pay the bill that is going to have, that's going to be due, you know, to get a major league team, to help build a stadium. Now, if they want to build it for themselves, they want to put all the money in and build it and not ask the taxpayers. And I mean, not ask the taxpayers for anything other than come to the game and support. Then I'm all for it. Please build the stadium. We'll come and support. We'll talk about them each and every time they win or lose. But if you're asking me to pay for it, nah, I'm a hard pass. No. And I'm sure there are a lot of other people out there just like me. Like, listen, if you're going to build it on your own, then go ahead and build it. But mm-hmm. if you're asking us to help pay for it, nah, we're not paying for it.
I totally agree. But if there's going to be somebody that's going to be paying for it completely themselves with no taxpayer dollar, and I think that's how it would have to get done, because I don't know how many taxpayers are lining up to elect that some of their tax money go to this stadium. Who has the money to front the $2 to $3 billion with a B billion dollars that it would take to build that stadium?
It's not necessarily who has the money, but who's willing to shell out the money.
Yeah, like there are Jeff some people Bezos that have it. All of a sudden yeah. wants to own a Major League Baseball team and put it in Nashville, then great, wonderful. Mm-hmm. I would love baseball in Nashville. Mm-hmm. I love baseball. It was the first sport that I fell in love with. I grew up in a baseball-obsessed city. I would love nothing more, and I love going to Sounds games. I think the Sounds are a great organization. I would love to have another professional team here that we can talk about every single day. I would love mm-hmm. to have another baseball team here whose games that I can go to in addition to the Sounds. But let's be realistic. I don't know where the money is coming from. Everybody wants to be in Nashville. I think Rob Manfred wants to be in Nashville. I think players would want to be in Nashville. And I think Nashville would love to have baseball here, but it's not just about wanting to be here. And it's not just about wanting to have baseball. It's who's fronting the bill and where's it going? I don't know the answer. There's not a clear answer to any of those questions. And those are the two most important questions when it comes to expanding MLB to Nashville.
My thing is Manfred needs to buy somebody that needs to find somebody that wants to bring a team first before he starts screaming about Nashville, you know, they're destined to get another team. Find someone that is going to foot the bill for it first. And then you know, decide to put a team in Nashville. Don't just scream Nashville's getting a team and we would love for Nashville to get a team and their sports town. You're right about that. We have become a sports town, but we're not that gullible as a city to say, oh yeah, bring the team on. We'll help pay for it just because we love sports. Hey, people love a lot of things, but that don't mean they need it. People are trying to buy houses. People can't buy houses around here. Barely buying food. Gas prices are up. And y'all talking about a damn baseball team and stadium that you're going to ask the taxpayers to help fund? Miss me with that one, man. Miss me with that one. Once y'all decide what, you know, get some of these other things down to where people can, you know, live comfortable, then maybe, yes, come to the taxpayers then. But not now. Not now when you know, housing prices are high and property taxes are high and, you know, whatnot. And then you're going to ask, you know, people to potentially, you know, help fund the stadium. No, you got the damn money. You fund the stadium. We'll come and support you, but you fund it.
We got a bunch of thoughts in our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I want to get to some of those. Ben in Cumberland City texts in, says, why is it okay for Nashville to sink money in football and other sports, but not baseball?
It wasn't okay for them to do it in football.
I wasn't here when the first Nissan Stadium was built, but there wasn't that a massive point of contention in this town?
Exactly. It was. It was a map, and they got that stadium for the cheap.
Yeah.
And it still was a big pushback. It was a big pushback for this stadium. You know,
even this stadium, it's majority funded by
exactly
the Adams family, by the NFL, and by taxes from the area that's being built right on the bank of the river. Like, it's not coming out of any Nashville or William or Davidson or Williamson County taxpayers' paychecks. It's coming from sales tax, at least it's my understanding. It's coming from sales tax of people who decide to go into that area. It's being funded by the Adams family. It's being funded by the NFL. It's not coming out of the pockets of taxpayers. And I think that it would be unfair to ask taxpayers to fund this baseball stadium as well. Like, if taxpayers are willing to do it, then great. But it's going to take more than just taxpayer money. You're going to need some deep pockets.
Here's the thing. I don't understand why this is such a contentious thing. Listen, you are defending billionaires when you say, well, why shouldn't, you know, we're paying for the Titan Stadium and we're paying for this and that. They didn't want to pay it. They were fighting against having to pay, and they had to make some concessions in regards to what's being built off the banks of the Cumberland River. There were concessions made, I'm sure. But to sit here and say, well, you know, because essentially what that is saying is, I don't mind paying for it. Why not? You know, I want a baseball team. Why not? I'll pay for it. No, if they want to put it in the city, because honestly, we don't need any more sports. I think we got enough sports. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to having another team, but we have enough.
I would love it. As
we speak. Exactly. But I wouldn't be opposed of it. But if you want to bring something into a town that don't need it, because seriously, it doesn't need it, because they got a football team, which has taken this city from being a city that no one wanted to move to a city that everyone wants to move to. You added a hockey team to that city that now people wants to move to. The hockey team and the football team has allowed this city to grow. Whether we have a baseball team or not isn't going to mean anything in regards to this city growing. It's going to continue to grow. So if that's the case, we don't need y'all. Y'all want to be here. So if y'all want to be here, pay for it. That's the way I see it.
I'm with you 100%. I would love a baseball team here. I would absolutely love it. My butt would be in those seats every single weekend.
I mean, I'd be there too. I would go to games.
I would love it. But show me the plan. Show me the who, the what, the when, and the where. Show me those details, and then I'll be 100% on board.
Just show me who's going to pay for it. That's all I need to know.
Just say Nashville is getting a major league base is getting major league baseball. It seems to be just a matter of when and where and who's going to own and pay for it. Answer me those questions and then we can talk.
Exactly.
It is the best betting, in my opinion, the best betting month of the year. March Sweet 16 starting tonight. We've got the Women's Sweet 16 starting tomorrow night and through the rest of the weekend. So joining us to give her best bets of the weekend coming up next is our friend Ali Melnicki of Zen Sports, and we will catch up with her. Caroline Willie D. Mace, we're broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025, 1063, the game. It is Sweet 16 time. Finally, we're right in the thick of March Madness. It's Major League Baseball opening day. So we've got a lot of money to be made on the sports books. Joining us now to give us her best bets of the weekend is our friend from Zen Sports, Ali Melnicki. Ali, appreciate you as always for joining us. Sweet 16 on the men's side starts tonight. One game that I'm super interested in, that I've had circled on my calendar ever since it was decided, is Alabama, North Carolina, a one seed versus a four seed. UNC 4.5 point favorites tonight. Who do you like in this one?
I'm going with UNC. I have them out of that region to make the Final Four. I think that they are an underrated team. I know they are a one seed, but a lot of people didn't believe they deserved the one seed. I think this team plays at a high tempo. This should be a very high scoring game. I would definitely lean with the over on this one. Two teams that put up a lot of points. So I'm going North Carolina to cover 4.5 and the over.
And then I think the closest thing that we have left to a Cinderella in the Sweet 16, 11 seed NC State, the only double digit seed left in the Sweet 16, NC State taking on Marquette. Can NC State keep the magic alive?
I think they can. I think they can pull the upset off. I know we've seen Marquette play a little rough. They almost got upset a couple. I believe it was the second round. I think they're vulnerable. I think NC State really came on at the end. If you look at that ACC tournament, I think that they really are making a name for themselves and they can pull off the upset.
We'll talk with Ali Melnicki, Zen Sports. Now, Ali, a matchup that I'm looking at for tomorrow: the Houston, who is led by their three guards, and Duke, a one versus a four. Duke is led by Filipowski. It's a 4 point spread with Houston. Do you see this as a 4 point game, and would you go with Houston?
I'm going with Duke all the way. I have Duke beating them in my bracket as well. I think Duke is a team that's kind of flown under the radar, especially during March Madness. They've looked very good throughout their first two games. I think they score enough. I don't know if Houston's going to be able to keep up with Duke scoring. So I'm liking the Duke Blue Devils to pull off the upset.
Now, another one here in town, hometown team, the Tennessee Vols go up against Creighton. Tennessee didn't shoot particularly well last game, and they're going against a very good Creighton team. How do you see that? Would you go with Tennessee in the points? I think it's like 2.5, 3 points.
Yeah, I would lay the 3 points for sure. I think Tennessee, this is a good matchup for them. We saw Creighton, they really needed that double overtime to beat Oregon in the second round. I think they're vulnerable as well. I think Tennessee is going to hit the stride right. I think they're going to come out scoring heavily. Look for them to come out shooting from the three-point line and edging out Creighton for sure.
Carolyn, before I pass it back to you, I'm sorry. Yeah. Before I pass it back to you, Purdue-Gonzaga. Can Purdue continue to dominate as they have been, or will they run up against and ultimately lose against a Gonzaga team?
Ooh, I think this is a really tough matchup for Purdue. I really do. Gonzaga is a team where everyone has picks them to win every year, and they don't do it. No one was picking them this year. I know a lot of people had McNeese trying to upset them in the first round, and Gonzaga just blew them out of the water. I think this is a very tough matchup for Purdue. I don't know if Gonzaga pulls off the upset, but I would definitely take the points with them.
I want to circle back. A friend from Zen Sports, Ali Melnicki, is with us. I want to circle back to that Creighton-Tennessee game. It's a game so many people in our listening area are looking forward to. Like D-Mace mentioned, not the best shooting night on Saturday against Texas. And then going back to the SEC tournament, not a great shooting day against Mississippi State. Over-under for just Tennessee total points is 73.5. Do you think we're going to be able to see a big offensive firepower, a big Dalton Connect day against Creighton on Friday night?
I would love to see that. I think Dalton Connect is due for a really big game, especially he did play very poorly in that SEC game against Mississippi State, like you said. I think he's due for a monster of a game, and if there's any game to have it, it's this one. So I would actually take the over for Tennessee in the points. If they want to get to the Elite Eight, they're going to have to score against Creighton, so I'm going to take the over.
I like it. I like it. Transitioning to baseball, it's opening day in MLB. What are some of your favorite bets of today on the diamond?
Well, I'm a Red Sox fan, but I don't know if I could trust my Red Sox to pull out the win. I can't even name half their roster anymore because they've done next to nothing in the offseason. But being in LA, got to go with the hometown team here, the Dodgers. I think that they're gonna win with all their big offseason acquisitions. So it's hard to pick against the Dodgers here.
Allie, you're talking to two Cardinals fans, myself and Nick. So I don't love that pick, but honestly, I don't blame you there. I would probably pick the Dodgers too. Quickly, Allie, before we get you out of here, it was announced yesterday that the NCAA is making a push to eliminate college player props on the sports books. Just quickly, your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, in Tennessee, as you know, there is no player props that can be bet on in the collegiate sports. Other states think otherwise, but I agree with that. I mean, these kids can be easily swayed with someone is flaunting some money in their face if they, you know, tell them to go down with an injury to avoid it over. So I'm all about that. I don't think kids should be bet on. A team's one thing, but a personal college player I don't agree with. So I'm fine with that.
Well said, and a very fair point, Allie. We always appreciate you and your insight and your betting picks. And we'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. All right, appreciate it. Our friend Allie Melnicki over at Zen Sports. D-Mace, who you got tonight? Alabama, UNC.
Oh, man. I'm going with UNC. I like Alabama, but it's hard to pick against UNC. I'm going with UNC.
Give me Alabama.
SEC Homer.
Give me Alabama. I will say, if the SEC does not find themselves in the Final Four, either Tennessee or Alabama, that's a major disappointment for the conference. It's been too long since they've had representation in the Final Four. But that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman and Company, it's up next.
Be love and love on your people. Peace.